Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine, a sanctuary designed to inspire women on their journey to matriarchy by reconnecting them with their intuition and innate wisdom. Join us as we explore the stories, wisdom, and medicine of women who are claiming this sacred and holy role. In each episode, we'll uncover transformative insights and practical tools to help you create the life you desire. Through inspiring interviews and meaningful conversations, Matriarchal Medicine invites you to step into your innate leadership potential and create a legacy of love, wisdom, and resilience. Welcome. I'm Audrey Thorpe. First and foremost, I'm a mother. I'm a physiologic and holistic caretaker, and I have been supporting women on their journeys and rites of passage from menarche through menopause and beyond for the past 15 plus years. I'm an autonomous midwife, mentor, and homeopathic practitioner specializing in the feminine art of intuitive and constitutional prescribing. Today, I'm your host, and in this episode of Matriarchal Medicine, I am joined by Zasha Samuels. I unfortunately mispronounced her name multiple times throughout this episode, but nonetheless, I am so excited for you to hear our conversation and her story. In this episode, she shares her journey through her parents' divorce, how she went from a high-achieving student to skipping classes just so she could sleep in her car because of the debilitating fatigue she experienced. After years of being gaslit by multiple providers, and even herself at times, she was finally diagnosed with Lyme's disease at 21 years old. This will also serve as a listener's discretion advisory, as Zasha's story includes suicide ideations and attempts, and also being institutionalized a few times. She also affectionately shares how she and her now husband met, and how he truly cared for her during her time of being bedridden, carrying her to and from appointments, and financially tending to their household needs, financially, and everything else that we all know goes into keeping a household together. She shares her experience through a truly holistic lens, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Let's dive in. Today, I am joined by Miss Zasha Samuels. I have only known Zasha for just a couple months now, which is insane to say out loud because I feel like I've known you for years.
I feel the same way.
I feel like we've connected on so many deep, intimate levels. We've already had like so many heart-to-hearts in that short amount of time. So I will probably learn so much about you during this conversation, as well as the listeners. But yeah, I first met Zasha when I decided to go back to some partial dreads. And Zasha is the beautiful artist that has made that a reality for me. And I think as all of us women can relate to, or I mean, even men can relate to, there's just something that happens when you're in the chair. And there's there's something energetically that happens. And I feel like that's why we were able to just connect so quickly. So welcome to Matriarchal Medicine. Ooh.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored. I have never been on a podcast before. I've never had anybody ask me. And when you did, I was like, oh, this makes so much sense because I'm with you. I feel like we connected so quickly on such a truly deep level, like soul to soul level, where I feel like I meet a lot of my clients there, but then I have kind of my rare clients where it's like, oh no, this is like even beyond friendship. This feels like, I don't know, divine in a way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So thank you for having me.
So I'd like to start this conversation. Again, like I said, I know I'm going to learn so much about you during this conversation, but in our brief exchanges, you've shared, I mean, you are a beautiful, you know, on your feet, walking, talking, like living life, like this is like been everyday life for you forever. And one day you just kind of casually mentioned like, oh yeah, like I was bedridden with Lyme. And I'm like, what? What? So I would love to hear how that manifested for you, how you've kind of navigated your life up to this point, because you carry yourself with so much love and grace, and just like you really do have like this embodied like fairy essence to you.
Oh, you
Of
are too kind. Oh my God.
And I genuinely mean that, like just watching you like weave and like just kind of float from like here to there when you like just how you move is just so not of someone that you would expect to hear navigated such deep chronic, how our society views it as chronic illness. So I would love to hear your story, for lack of better words, your story.
Well, this is honestly one, I'm really grateful that you had me on for this topic because any way that I can bring awareness to Lyme disease, I am just here for it. But two, I guess I will start by saying it felt, I don't know if this is going to sound a little out there, and it might, and that's okay. It's my struggles with Lyme disease felt very karmic, meaning I believe that we kind of choose things before we're on this earth, and I felt like I chose this, and it was a lesson that I needed to like learn really deeply and in a really real and hard way, in order to kind of expand and grow and be more present and here in love on this earth plane. So we'll start there. But basically, I started having s kind of strange symptoms when I was about 14 or 15 years old. I started having significant mental health issues, such as extreme OCD, extreme anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation and attempts. So, trigger warning for anybody listening. I won't go deeply into those things because they kind of speak for themselves in a way. So for me, my Lyme disease in, I don't know, I'd say eighth, ninth grade, I started noticing a significant decline in my grades, in my ability to be awake, my fatigue. I remember so intensely, and it was so heavy and extreme that I'd be in class and, like, literally, I could not stay here and with it enough to listen to teachers or whoever I was supposed to be engaged with at the time. And so it kind of started with that. And my parents, I mean, up until that point, I had been, like a, honestly, a pretty like easy straight A, whatever, you know, didn't school didn't feel difficult to me until this time. So I come from a divorced family, which for anybody who else who comes from kind of a family like that, sometimes navigating school difficulties, things like that can be kind of like a double whammy because you have parents that deal with things very differently, that have already agreed that we don't agree on anything, so let's separate, kind of a thing. Which in my parents' case was absolutely the right decision. My dad even remarried to my wonderful stepmom, who I love, and it worked out for the best. But yeah, so it was kind of hard because I think the focus wasn't even so much as health as you are not achieving, you are not you know, you're not doing the things that we have expected you to do. And the reason we have the expectation of you is because you've always done it that way. So that was a really strange thing to experience at those ages, I would say, because when you're 14, 15, you don't have the vocabulary of this is what's happening in my body, and I
Yeah.
know that it doesn't feel right. Like, I know that I am not well, and I don't know how to say that.
Well, the other question I have real quick is, I know so many girls going into their menarche, that happens around that age also.
Oh my God, good point. I didn't even think about that. But yes, I got mine. I guess I was a, it was, I got it on homecoming freshman year of high school. Homecoming, like literally leaving to go take pictures. Hello, period.
It's, I mean,
Yeah, that's
just
such a good point.
divorce school, like already getting these symptoms. I mean, we're talking major, major life transitions in this short amount of
Totally.
time.
Absolutely. Even that transition, I know kind of the transition from middle to high school is so different state to state and even like county to county. But for me, yeah, like ninth grade started high school for me. So eighth grade was interesting when I started kind of noticing a disconnect in my body and what I was able to do in it. Being in eighth grade, where it's like in my brain now, I don't think of eighth grade as being incredibly difficult academically. And then even freshman year, it's like kind of easing that age group into a new school. It's like, I know there are kind of academic pressures and whatever, but yeah, no, it's not something that I view. Oh, thank you. My husband just brought me coffee. Thank you, Jacob. So nice. And yeah, so it was kind of a it was. There was a lot happening, and it's a strange time, I think, for any young woman or young man, but young women, I don't know. I feel like we especially go through weird times there. So yeah, I would say it mostly manifested as mental health. Yeah, I would say till I was about 16. And by the time I was 16, I had been mentally institutionalized. And I can't remember the exact time that I was there or how much time, but it was substantial, and it was an inpatient, my parents were able to visit me and whatever their visiting hours were. I can't even remember if it was on like a daily or a weekly. I remember not seeing them a lot in that time. And that was kind of the first look for me of like, ooh, is something wrong with me? Like, is something actually like really wrong for me? Because I feel like when you're those ages and having such extreme thoughts of not wanting to be here, it obviously that doesn't feel harmonious. It doesn't feel good. But I was where I was, and I think one thing on an emotional level that I feel like is important to touch on, and I think especially for kids in divorced homes, is I was not an honest person then either, which is interesting to say as somebody who was a child then, but there was so much going on back and forth between my parents' home that I didn't feel that I could be honest. So there, that was a really interesting thing to kind of come to terms with later on in my adulthood, and to really have to face that and kind of recreate patterns and habits of being honest, being present, being okay exactly with where I was. And I don't think the dishonesty about how I was doing, what I was feeling, all of those things. And I think I was being dishonest with myself, first and foremost, of the severity of what I was experiencing.
Yeah, of course.
Because, yeah, and right. So yeah, that's kind of how it manifested in high school. Later on in high school, I started having strange physical stuff that they misdiagnosed as sympathetic nerve syndrome, which I believe it's been a minute, is essentially like the nerves in your lower back kind of spasming incorrectly and can cause a multitude of issues. In my case, I was experiencing like a crazy lack of blood flow from the waist down. So my, like at one point, they couldn't even like feel a pulse in my foot, in my right foot. Like it was so strange. So then, yeah, kind of like blood sort of stuff, like blood flow circulation issues started happening, which in my very hippie and holistic way of being now, man, that points to so much that was going on.
I was just going to say, oh, the
Oh.
can of worms that just got opened.
Oh my God, for sure. So I actually underwent, I again can't remember how many, it was a while ago now. I went underwent like a lot of what do they call it? Epidurals, where they had to actually put me under to inject me to essentially like reteach those nerves how to spasm correctly. So I did that a couple of times, maybe two or three. I can't remember exactly. And my stepmom was there with me the whole time, and she was so helpful, and that was cool. So that didn't do anything for long. Essentially, every time I was experiencing symptoms, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, it would the kind of pattern of Lyme is that you have really big flare periods, and you might be flaring intensely for 3 to 4 months, and then it might go away completely. And I think the people around me, not with any sort of blame or shame at all, but I don't think anybody believed me at a
Yeah.
certain point. And I was even starting to not believe myself because it felt crazy that I was having mental, physical, all of these crazy things happening, but not at the same time and not at that point continuously. It was very bizarre. So I don't know, I feel like I flared pretty intensely till I was through high school. I didn't finish high school. I didn't graduate. I had missed so much school with my time in and out of hospitals, and also, like I said, the dishonesty piece. I wasn't showing up to school, Audrey. I was so overwhelmed in that space. So I
Yeah.
would go to my car and I would sleep. I would literally go and sleep in my car
Oh my
because
gosh.
I was so tired. And then, the occasional, like, I'm gonna go rebel and hang out with my friends or my boyfriend. Like, of course, all of that was happening also. So then end of high school was kind of a strange time, because all your friends are graduating and, doing their party thing and, just the societal thing of, that like rite of passage into adulthood is what it felt like. And I wasn't really experiencing that. And oddly enough, I didn't really care either because I knew something just didn't feel right. Like I still didn't feel right. And it felt really like on a soul level, I didn't feel right. And so I just felt like I was going through the motions. So I get through high school. I kind of stopped having symptoms. They kind of went back to being dormant for, I would say, maybe like a year, between the time that I was 17 and 18. I was done with high school. I was living at my dad's house. And I have two younger siblings, Talia and Julian, and my sister is 5 years younger than me. My brother is 7 years younger. I also have an older brother, but he was in college in Florida at that point. His name is Roman. And so I was living at home. I was working two different small jobs, one at Hollister, one at a steakhouse, and I was also at school at the Community College of Denver, because I grew up in Denver. And again, just going through the motions, and I was super exhausted. I was often found sleeping in my car, not by people, finding myself sleeping in my car, whether it be at like the train station where I was supposed to like park and go to school, whether it was at school. Like I was basically just trying to find anywhere that I could take a nap. It was really what, just power down, really get. And the older I've gotten, the more I learned something recently, actually, that when your nervous system is feeling highly dysregulated, that laying down can actually bring you, like being fully horizontal can bring you back to a really nice baseline. And so it's so funny to have that knowledge now and to look at myself as a young person and be like, oh my God, you were just the most dysregulated, so reactive and, just overwhelmed kind of little being. So I was doing that. I was dating a not great guy at the time. He was fine, but it wasn't like great either. And then, at that point, I was feeling pretty overwhelmed. I grew, like I said, grew up in a divorce home at this point. I'm with my dad. And it's at this point that I leave my dad's house. Out of respect to my family, I won't go into the details of that, because I love them and I love how we've kind of healed and rebuilt our relationship. And the details also just don't matter to me anymore as a person who really tries to live presently. But I chose to leave my dad's house. It was an environment that wasn't serving me at that time. As much as I know they were doing their best to help me and they were doing what they thought was the right thing.
No, yeah.
This is a difficult topic. And I think so much of my illness, I think, is related to this. Because I think with illness, it's such an interesting thing how emotionally rooted symptoms are. And so that took me a long time to accept and come to terms with. Also, I might cry like four more times, guys. I am a huge crier.
Well, good.
I cry like three times a day. This is very normal for me. But yeah, so I left. I moved in with my then boyfriend at the time, and he was living at his mom's house. And it was an abrupt leaving. Like, it was very, I'm going and there's no stopping me. And I started to, live my life as an adult. Just, I kept working my same jobs, until I realized, okay, I need to switch. I need to make more money now that I'm not being supported by my parents. So I just started like living, working. I worked with a child. I switched my focus to nannying, and I worked with a child that was on the autism spectrum, and he wasn't nonverbal, but we also weren't incredibly verbal. I loved that job. It taught me so much about myself, and how to regulate. So I was starting to really gain these skills of like, okay, I have to help this young person regulate, which means I need to be regulated. So I was starting to have that one, that realization that we're all mirror images of each other. And that's so real. And then two, you know, it's important to be dropped into your body and to be aware of what's happening there. I would say I wasn't flaring intensely at this time. I mean, emotionally, I think I was, I guess. Yeah, my depression was steep. But in terms of physical sensations, beyond that, not an incredible amount until the end of my time working with this family, with their child. I was extremely fatigued. And I think my emotional health wasn't doing well. And I was mentally institutionalized for a second time. Or again, suicidal ideation. I don't think I attempted that time. It was more so I understand where I was and thought, man, if maybe I get checked in a second time, maybe I can learn more skills this time. Like, it was a much more thought out decision. And that also coincided with me breaking up with my boyfriend at the time. It wasn't right after, but it wasn't necessarily like it was all close together. So I was institutionalized the second time. It was again a lot of big life changes, but not all right at the same time. It was probably within like a 6 month span, would be my guess. And yeah, that one oddly enough felt so much more level-headed, so much more my choice. So I don't know, I just knew I needed help. That was a form that felt safe to me, so I did that. And again, I just went in there and I swear to God, I slept. I just slept. Oh my God. The moral of this story is I just needed to rest. Yes. Really and truly.
Yes.
Truly
On a
and
cellular
deeply.
Level. Rest.
On a cellular level, I was exhausted. Like, just exhausted. So then eventually, you know, I come out, I rebuild, I'm not flaring in all the ways, whatever. And then not an incredible, I would say within 6 months of that, I meet my now husband. And we start dating pretty quickly. We're moved in together after a month. I mean, it's like very like, oh, okay, this is like my person. Okay, cool. And we're living in downtown Denver. We're living in Cap Hill. I've again switched career gears because I don't really know what I want to do. I don't really care either. Again,
just
I know that
existing,
something
like and
existing.
I say that in like the most loving and compassionate way of how are you supposed to think about the normal humaning stuff of a job and a career and money on the, you know, for food on the table when you are so completely depleted.
Right. And I had felt depleted. And that, you know what, that word, Audrey, is, I could not have chosen a better word for, I would say, how all of Lyme felt to me was just a severe depletion of energy, of just everything that makes you want to get up and go every day. Just every level felt so depleted on, like even not on this plane, like on a soul level, I am depleted. That being said, I am a almost maybe overly so optimistic person, and I do naturally have like a deep desire to connect with people and to love people. Like, I am that way, and I love knowing people deeply and not, you know, like the superficial stuff is difficult for me. I'm like, let's talk about where we're at today. Like, I think
why
that's
I
why
love
I love
you.
doing hair.
why I love you.
Yeah. And I feel, like, and now doing hair, it just makes perfect sense because I think when you're working with somebody's like crown chakra, in that area, there's a lot that's kind, it's a very vulnerable and very intimate kind of space to work with somebody. So I just landed in the right zone for sure. But, but anyway, back to kind of our order of things. So my husband and I meet, we're instant, just like best friends. Obviously the romantic connection is there too, but like what I remember really vividly about that time is like, wow, I have a partner, like a true, like friend, partner. Like, it just felt like that so quickly. And anybody who knows my husband, Jacob, knows that he meets everyone there. Like, I always, like, there's not, like, there, Jacob can't be anything other than Jacob. And he wants to know you deep. Like, he just does. Like, we're really similar and really, like, very twin flamey in that way. Like, I feel like we just want to cut through the bullshit. I apologize for my language and just get to the heart of the thing. And so, yeah, so we're just doing life. And this was probably in, we got together in like January. By May of that year, I think it was 2014, I start having severe GI issues. I can't keep food down. I can't keep water down. Like, anything that I intake is coming back up. Like, there is nothing, like truly nothing. I start losing significant weight. I start losing muscle mass. Again, we're back to that extreme fatigue. At the time, I was working at a hospital in Denver called Rose Medical Center, and it was like a 12-minute bus ride from my apartment, and I could not walk to the bus stop. And it was the kind of thing where Jacob's like, hey, you're not crazy. I live with you. I see everything that's happening, and you need to stop working. You need to figure out what's wrong with you. And at this point, I'm young. I mean, I'm 20. He's 19. Like, we are children. And so he takes on an extra job. So I think he was working two or three jobs at this point, to allow me to rest. And we're also in the diagnostic process. I'm seeing GI specialists. I'm seeing acupuncturists for pain. Like, we're trying all of the avenues that we can to figure out what's up. And I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. And I can tell for him, I don't want to speak for his experience, but I'm sure that's really overwhelming to have the person that you're newly in a relationship with, newly living with, all of a sudden be truly physically incapable. Incapable.
I would say it puts that whole, you know, for better, for worse, and sickness and in health, like, to in the baby infant stage of the relationship. It's like,
yes, it's like, here we are.
Bless
Jacob. Like, are we meeting here? Bless Jacob. Everyone, bless Jacob. Never met a man as good as Jacob. Although Zach also sounds like he's a Jacob. So also Zach. Yeah, so we and he at this time I'm working with my mom at Rose Medical Center and she's a nurse. So, but again, I think with again with no blame, with no shame, it's like we had already been through this process so many times. You know what I mean? And I think she is kind of locked into Western medicine. That has since changed, I think. But at that time, it's like when you are working in a field, that part of its purpose is to help people diagnose what's wrong with them. It's like I think you are kind of going to see things in that lens. So we were trying kind of those things. I was, you know, they thought maybe she has cancer, like colon cancer or something. So we're doing like colonoscopies and endoscopies and all of the things. And then Jacob, being such a young, sweet baby, is thinking of things really. I mean, it's truly amazing the wisdom that that man has, the deep wisdom that he has and has always had, which is why I talk so much from a soul level, is because I think we sign up for our lives. I do. I believe that deeply. He got me in touch with an acupuncturist. We were going to do some pain management. And then she was also a nutritionist because I wasn't able to keep things down. And he was like, well, maybe if she could do the nutrition side of things, also, we'll be able to figure out, like, okay, is there something about your diet that's causing? I mean, like, he was thinking, well, as a 19-year-old man, like, amazed. So we go, we see her. I'm in too much pain to even get acupuncture done. By the way, he's physically carrying my body to anywhere I'm leaving the apartment. I'm being physically carried.
Okay,
By this
then
man.
the title for this episode is Bless Jacob.
Bless Jacob. Like, can it please be that?
oh my
Yes, because
gosh.
this 19-year-old man is carrying me to the store, to my mom's house, to doctor's appointment. I mean, everywhere. Like, and in between his long and rigorous work days, because he's taking so much on in the financial sense, he's coming home between jobs to help me go to the bathroom, to help me assist with pain management stuff and the methods that I was using for that at the time. Things like that. So it was, I mean, he's just amazing. But we found this acupuncturist. She tells me, she's like, I don't want to go into the details extremely. And she's like, because I obviously, like, I'm not a doctor in that regard, but I think I have a doctor that can help you. I really want you to go see him. I will give him a call because we have a good relationship. Go there. So we go, and we walk into the office. I'm probably like 90 pounds at this point. I'm like a withering away shell of a human. And I'm not like short. I'm like 5'6" almost. So like on with my height, like it was like a skeleton territory. Is where we were at. And we go into the doctor's office and we sit down. And I was with a physician's assistant at the time, but her and the doctor of osteopathic medicine worked together, with Lyme specifically. And she takes one look at me and she goes, how old are you? And at that point, it was now October, and I had just turned 21 in September. And I was like, I'm 21. She goes, yeah, you have Lyme disease. She was like, I know, we haven't even done a diagnostic yet. And she was like, but I am like, based on everything you told me, based on just looking at you, she was like, I know, like, I deeply in my bones know that this is what's happening, and hearing my medical history and, you know, all the things. And I'm like, okay. And so I break down, not because I'm scared, but because I'm like, oh my God, something is wrong with, like, there's a label, there's a
I can call it
strain.
something.
Yes, like, okay, so what I have been feeling for years at this point is real. Like, it's, I'm being validated, I'm being heard, I'm be, you know, all of the things. So we send a blood test off. They also muscle tested. I don't know if you know much about muscle testing, but
I practice it
my
as well.
God. Oh, you do. Of course you do. Of course you do. Perfect. Just perfect. Yes. So I get muscle tested. We also do the blood test. And she literally says, she goes, I am so certain just with my muscle testing that it's Lyme. Like, can I please start you on a protocol? She goes, that being said, I understand we have to wait for blood results to come back. But if you're cool with starting, I'll have you sign this like waiver that says, like, I'm aware that, you know, we don't have all the info yet. And I was like, honestly, at this point, like, I will literally do anything
Yeah,
to
like
feel well.
just
So
what
yeah.
you got? Let's see.
What you got? And she was so real. Like, that's the thing I loved about, I will forever shout the Sound Clinic out, Dr. Sean Naylor, Dr. Amy Kennedy. She lives in Australia now. She's not even in the States, but my God, if you are in Colorado, if you are in Denver and you need a primary care, you need anything undiagnosed to be diagnosed, go there, because these people literally saved my life. Like, oh my God, they are amazing. And they were just so real. Like, there was no like doctor patient format. Like, it was very just like human to human, let's meet and figure it out. So at that point, they thought that my treatment process would be about 14 months. And it was going to be a lot of heavy duty antibiotics, antiparasitics, stuff like that, in addition to a lot of Chinese herbs, like weird tree bark extracts and all kinds of stuff. And then when I got my formal diagnosis, it was late stage Lyme disease, which that infection is called Borrelia burgdorferi. And then I had Babesia, Bartonella, and then I also had intestinal parasites. So we were treating a multitude of things. I call it Lyme because Lyme is the most recognizable of those infections. For me, my co-infections were significantly worse than the Lyme-specific bacteria. So to this day, I notice Bartonella symptoms. They are manageable. They are easy to deal. Like, we're cool, but that is the one specifically that has just hung on forever. And they all kind of do different things within your body, which makes sense that I was experiencing mental, emotional, physical, you know, all of the things. And basically with kind of Lyme and, you know, similar bacterias, it causes extreme inflammation, muscular, you know, inflammation. But then, you know, when one thing is off, so many things can become off, as is how we have to look at things holistically in life. Because yeah, if you have one area of your body or whatever that's inflamed, then your nerves might be overcompensating in a way, trying to send signals or, you know, whatever it may be. So I start my treatment. At this point, Jacob and I have abandoned our apartment and we have moved in with my mom because I required round the clock care. I mean, I was fully bed bound. I needed assistance bathing, going to the bathroom, eating, taking my meds, doing it all. So they did a lot of like shift work, him and my mom. But at the same time, she's a nurse and nurses work long, hard, intense jobs. And I have respect for every nurse that I know. And so she was also, you know, working and financially providing for us in this time. So honestly, most of the care was on Jacob. And yeah, we just kind of went along like that. I think we were at her house and probably 9 months before we started to kind of expand and be back into like more of a partnership in the sense of like both living and working. And yeah, it was a really intense time. I was on meds 3 times a day. It was expensive. Yeah, it was financially very stressful. And it was a lot, but at the same time, I felt very grateful that we were working towards hopefully an end of some kind in sight. And the thing with Lyme, is there are reactions called a Herkimer reaction, which when you take, because it's a live bacteria in you, you take a medication, that bacteria is pissed and it fights back. So you actually get more intense symptoms for about 2 weeks. And then after that 2 week period, usually that chills out and you start to actually feel like some pretty real relief. So it's odd when your indicator of your med is working is like you feel worse. So it's just like a lot of waves that we're riding, really. And yeah, so I was in treatment. I started having during this time, I think because the treatment was so intense, because when you're fighting off bacteria that has, like, I mean, they told me that they were like, I think you've had Lyme since you were 15. just based on your medical history alone and hearing all of the things together, they were like, this would be my guess, which I wholeheartedly agree, because I noticed such a significant shift in just how I was and who I was at that time. Yeah, and so I started experiencing memory issues at this point, extreme memory issues, where Jacob, I don't remember this, but Jacob would tell me, like, I would forget who my mom was. I would think that I'm 16. And so he would have to explain, like, we're together. You're this age. You're, you know, those sorts of things. And at this point, too, we got married. That was 2014 when I got diagnosed. We got married early 2015. Because, I mean, if somebody is helping you go to the bathroom and bathing you, that's not really boyfriend territory anymore.
like I said, in sickness and in health, man, you got it.
Literally, like, right. And we had known each other, and by that point, for a little over a year by the time we got married. So, I mean, it was quick, but it also, it's like, man, but you're really, we're seeing each other. We're seeing who we are.
Yeah,
we're really working through something together. I always joke now that it's like we did marriage in reverse. We started as like old people, and then now we're getting to be like young and fun and do cool things and explore. Yeah. So, so we're married and we're doing our thing, memory issue, all the things. And then I, yet again, have another suicidal ideation. So that's now our third. And that was really difficult because with the diagnoses of Lyme, a lot of, like, the CDC does not recognize late stage Lyme in its entirety, as it does not recognize so many illnesses in its entirety and what that actually looks like.
Yeah.
And so my sort of idea and thought of, like, okay, do I need to go back to being in a mental institution of some kind of went out the window at that point, which at that point it also felt like a crutch. Like, if I'm objectively looking at myself now, it was like, okay, I have this cycle, then this happens, and then this fixes me, and then whatever. And so that was really intense, and to know, like, okay, cool, like, if I go to this place, though, I might be in there for a very long time, and I might be on medications that are messing with my treatment and messing with all of these things that I'm really, like, actually making progress on, even though it doesn't feel like it in that moment. And so Jacob, bless Jacob, we write back, sets up an in-home mental hospital for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh yeah. No, like, the depths of this man, no bounds. Like, it's crazy. So yeah, he made a very safe room for me with no shoelace, you know, all the things they do. At an inpatient facility is what we did in my home. And my mom, whose name is Hazel, was, you know, she would take a shift, he would take a shift. And we also did, like we had one of our friends, Taylor, would come over, and we would do like he even built, like, activities, like, okay, we're going to do, like, a music therapy session, and we're going to, like, deconstruct a song and why it's important, or we're going to do art therapy. Like, he literally, like, went so hard. Okay, let's see. My headphone is coming out. I'm going to try and not turn it off. Can you hear me? Okay, fantastic. Yeah, and so I feel like it was at that point that I really understood the goodness of humanity. and I think, that was when I was like, oh my God, I need to fully reset how I think about things, how I am in my body, like, beyond treatment, Lyme, it doesn't matter. Like, on a soul and how we show up for ourselves level, I need to make a huge switch, because I have somebody who is bending over backwards, you know, like, wow, bending over backwards to make sure I'm just okay, just, you know. And it was like the most beautiful and most pure version of unconditional love, and he has not one time stopped showing me that. And it really, like, just seeing that and being a part of it and being chosen in that way, and him all the while telling me, like, you are the same way. This is not just me. You are the same way. Like, we are both this way. And my God, like, he just, his way of being in love, like, as a human, not in a relation, just how he exists in relation to others, totally, like, it just gave me the confidence and the example of, like, okay, like, I can do this. And so at that point, I won't go into the details of where we were and how we moved, because I feel like that's where our and my breakthrough with Lyme really happened. And I felt like we went from that point. So, like, a year later, we moved like 6 times. Like, we could fit all of our belongings in our car. And, like, it was just wild. But I just, at that point, I was watching this person operate with such care and love. And I thought, I need to do that. I'm capable of that. And I need to do that too. And so, for me, I feel like I was just like copying my husband. Like, literally, I swear to you, that was a huge part of my treatment. Because I'm still deeply in treatment. We're still doing meds. Kind of the amount that I'm doing sort of changed. And when I was first in treatment, it was like once a month I had a different protocol. And then it was kind of like once every 2 months and once every 3 months. And, you know, eventually, like, when you start killing off bacteria like that, it's like you might be, I mean, I think on and off, I was in treatment for about 5 years. But kind of the degree to which I was in treatment was a lot different kind of by the end of that time, because the goal was never to eliminate. It was simply to make it manageable. So then we were just living, working, being, and at this time, understandably so, I feel like Jacob was also having a very real and intense spiritual awakening, is really the only way that I can put it. And that was really beautiful to witness after him experiencing such a hard time watching the person that you love be sick and being the person that feels responsible for them at such a young age is a very intense, it's very intense karma that we had together. And as a result, I mean, he also struggled with mental, emotional issues surrounding that, because how could you not?
That's a huge, especially again, noting your ages at this time.
Oh my God. Yes. 20 and 21 at this point.
Even 30, yeah. 40, 50 year olds that we know don't have healthy emotional intelligence.
Correct.
So talking about this from like you said, baby 19, 20 year olds, where the prefrontal cortex isn't even online yet.
No,
of
course, not at all.
Of course, we're going to have these reactions. Of course, we're going to have these.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, man, I feel like since we moved across the country to Florida, we moved here in July of last year. And it's been amazing, even since being in a new environment where we don't have so much history and, you know, all of these things. It's been really beautiful to see how our conversations have changed and how much, I don't want to speak for him, but I feel like we've had a lot of really like important conversations surrounding healing and what that looks like and what our needs are and all of those things since being here and just being in a new space and kind of with like a clean slate in a way, and being in such different roles now, being parents and, you know, having a toddler and doing our thing. So I mean, that for me is kind of like my journey with Lyme. I would say these days, man, both of us prioritize movement is really important. He's actually in a yoga teacher training right now, and is already kind of offering sessions. Which, my God, just when you know this story and you understand the context of Jacob, there could not be a role more suited for him in the wellness space. So it's really beautiful to see him have the space and time to to explore that and do that. And so that's been very healing, I think, for him and for me to see that. And I do dreadlocks in the mess of Lyme and all of that. We also built a dreadlock salon.
I was going to say, a very successful salon in Denver. Yeah.
It was awesome and we loved it. And I just wanted dreads for such a long time. So I was Jacob's first set of dreadlocks. And then shortly after doing mine, he had kind of decided like, oh, I think I like doing hair. So he went to cosmetology school and was building his dread business at the same time. He finishes cosmetology school. He opens his space like on his own, right? Basically right after. And then a couple months later, the pandemic happened. So it shuts us down for 2 months. And then in that time, I was like helping him make extensions. And that's when I started to be like, oh, I like doing dreads too. So then I became his apprentice. And that was a whole other interesting role to be in, to have your husband be kind of like your boss and your teacher.
It's a whole nother dynamic. Yeah.
It's a whole nother dynamic. I really feel like we've just hit all the roles. And I'm interested to see how our roles continue to shift in life, because they are not traditional. And I think that's one of my favorite things about us, is I think we exist outside of our roles. And I think something like extreme illness, being a caretaker for somebody with an extreme illness, rebuilding a life after that, I think it has allowed me to understand that the essence of me, who I am as a person, exists beyond roles. I am in this body. I have a mind. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am something that exists behind it, that we all are, and that we are all connected to. And I think that was my biggest, takeaway from being sick is, oh my God, I am not this body. I am a soul that has chosen to be in this vessel. And what a beautiful gift that is. And how incredible is that? That I get to have this like earthly sensory experience and grow in love through my kind of sensory experiences. So it, for me, I feel like that's how Lyme shaped maybe my current perspective. If I'm to identify with a personality at the moment, and I think Jacob's too. And I think, I don't know, I'm very grateful for it, because I feel like it has made our communication as a couple so much easier and flow so much better, even when you have those normal marital moments of like, do we disagree on this? Are we seeing eye to eye? Like, is the balance off? It, you know, all those normal things. It was a deep practice of gratitude for what is here and accessible to all of us, on that level, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. What's coming to mind, there's a song that I've been listening to pretty much on repeat, and it's Grateful. And the title of it is Grateful. Yes. And some of the lyrics in there is, I'm grateful for the lemon juice that I drink and the fact that I get to smile when I drink it.
Yes. Right. Right.
Evie, you know, she's listening to it with me. She's like, I don't like lemon juice. Like, who likes lemon juice? And I kind of like, when she said that, I really sat with the lyrics and, you know, explaining it to, you know, a 7-year-old. But I sat with the lyrics and I was like, it's saying I'm grateful for the bitter things and I get to choose to smile.
Right.
I get to choose gratitude when the bitter things happen in life.
Oh my God. Yes.
And it just, like I said, I'm listening to this like on repeat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like just finding the gratitude. And like you said, that I get to have this embodied experience.
Right. Right. I get to do it.
I get even to. Though,
yeah, I get to. And, you know, I think And I feel like maybe I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I feel like I wouldn't have gotten there without the role that suffering has played in my life. And we all suffer and we all experience hardship of some kinds, and one is not more severe than the other. One thing I feel like when I do talk about Lyme, I don't honestly talk about it much these days because I'm not there and I'm not identified in that way anymore, which is really beautiful. But the first thing people always say is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I understand that's our like human, somebody else was in pain. In a way, it's so loving, you know, that somebody wants to be like, oh my God, you were hurting. I feel so bad that you were hurt. And for me, I'm really trying to, in my interactions with others, I would say, especially with clients, because these days, I mean, you know, being a mom too, oh my God. I mean, it's not like I have a social life. Like,
I am parenting. This is our social time right now.
This is our social time. And I am parenting or I am at work. And those are my modes. And I would not change it for the world, but that's where we are.
That's the season we're in. So, yes.
That's the season we're in. It's beautiful. And I think when I'm meeting clients in the chair and when it's so common for somebody to pretty quickly tell me what's feeling difficult in their life, it is such like hair is therapy. I will say it forever. That's what it is. It's so funny. Every hairstylist I've ever interacted with feels that. And I even saw a meme where it was like $350 for hair with therapy or $300 for hair without therapy. And I was like, that's real. But therapy, y'all, if you want dreads done in Southwest Florida, my therapy is always free. So come on through. But yeah, I feel like when I meet people now, I don't feel like I'm in like a teaching role. Like, I don't mean it like that, but just when somebody is expressing hardship, like the hardship of their life in that moment to me, I want to just create space for that to exist for exactly what it is instead of inserting my narrative into it. And I feel like, yeah, that's just how my relationships have been shaped since Lyme too, is not really wanting to insert myself where it doesn't, I don't need to be.
You teach it through your embodied self. You teach it through how you carry yourself. Because like I said, just watching you, how you carry yourself, how you speak, how you articulate yourself, you exude love.
Audrey, that is like the biggest compliment ever, and you're gonna make me cry because
I genuinely mean
something to me.
And I genuinely mean it, because I think like we all see teachers like in the traditional sense, which we've already established you're not traditional in any capacity, but we see our teachers as like, you know, the classroom or like, you know, online courses and all of this. And what I appreciate so much about you is that you could have if you wanted, but you are teaching through just existing, just being.
Wow.
So yes, you are teaching, you are showing and we're all of us who are so fortunate enough to cross paths with you, we get something out of that on a cellular, spiritual, soul plane level of, and again, I've seen many different hairstylists, many different therapists in my time. But the embodied sense that you have is what's different and what sets you apart from everyone else.
I am overwhelmed a little bit because hearing somebody say such kind things about you it feels overwhelming sometimes. And I think maybe we all feel that way, where we're like, oh, baby. I'm a human with all these flaws and all, you know, all of the things. But thank you. I'm trying to get better at just taking compliments at face value, because I see you and I hear you and I appreciate your opinion on things and how you view the world and how you're raising your children and and a wife and partner and human you are. So I, from you especially, that means a very, like a very great deal. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate thank you. That.
And y'all, Audrey is like one of these people that when I met her, I kid you not, we got so deep in to the roles in which that she is, my God, supporting, uplifting, creating space and energy for women to have beautiful and autonomous and really dropped in experiences through birth work. That was our first conversation, was talking about your like
the light stuff.
the light stuff. Yeah, and that honestly, like I kid you not, that first conversation I like left and I was like, Taylor's like, hey, how are you? And I was like, dude, I just learned so much. I just learned so much. I felt like I took a workshop, and I mean that in the most positive and beautiful, like it was like a workshop that I was eager to sign up for and be a part of. Like literally, I was like, I cannot wait till I see you. And then you messaged me and you're like, I think I want more dreads or I need maintenance or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like I have to talk to you more. So
thank you.
You do that same thing where I thank feel you. Like you cut through and you meet people where they are and you're not afraid to talk about where you are. And I think there is huge power in that and why I'm so excited about this podcast and to see that all that it does and all that it is because you are giving people a space and a voice to be where they are. And I think that you facilitating that shows a great deal about the kind of person that you are. Because a lot of us don't have, I mean, I've never had an opportunity like this to share about Lyme in this way. And just this conversation alone has been so shockingly healing. Like, it's so funny that I used to talk about this and I wouldn't even be able to get through the crying part. Like the crying part would just remain as I'm trying to like sputter out these words and whatever. So the fact that I was even able to make it with only crying like twice is huge. So I'm so proud of you and I'm so proud of what you are offering the world and what you are doing right now, because it's right exactly where you should be. I feel that deeply.
Thank you so much for that reflection. I I deeply, deeply appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, since we are mommies with very intentional times.
Yes.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to share how other beautiful humans in Southwest Florida can get you in their crown chakra and work your magic. And cool. Also share your online links, all the good stuff. I'll have everything linked in the show notes below, but just kind of share how we can follow you, follow your beautiful work and just your humanness in the world.
Appreciate you. Yes. So I work at Manifest Holistic Salon in Fort Myers. Owned by the lovely Locks by Taylor, as she is known on Instagram. And I think the Manifest Instagram is just Manifest, I think, which is MANEIFEST, like Manifest, but like Maine, because, you know, here. So you can find us sort of through there. My personal Instagram is Zoshlocks, so it's Z as in zebra, A-S-C-H, and then Locks, L-O-C-K-S. You'll mostly just see dreadlocks there, but every now and then I do other little posts. My website, I operate under SWFL Dreadlocks, so SouthwestFloridaDreadlocks.com. But yeah, just a little acronym of it. So that's my website. I think that's really it. Cause I think, yeah, if you want to book with me, consultations are always free. I will briefly say that I love dreadlocks because it's allowed me to also, use way less products, you know, put less in my body, chemically speaking, which is huge for people with Lyme and things like that. I'm also vegan. Yep, I am that dreadlock hippie vegan for sure. I am that person. But yeah, so if you're interested, I would love to have you in the chair. I love what I do, and I feel like it just creates space to let your hair and yourself do exactly what they would do naturally. So I love that about my work and would love to meet all of you.
Zasha, thank you so much for your time, your energy, your story, just all of it. Thank you for being you and just sharing your innate wisdom with us. I truly, deeply appreciate it and cherish you deeply.
I cherish you deeply, and I thank you for giving me a space to share this, because I haven't really had one, and I don't think I realized how much I needed that until we were doing it. So thank you for everything that you were doing here. I love you.
I love you. Until next time.
Bye.
That's all for this episode. If you enjoyed it, I invite you to join my free upcoming class, Staphys Agria, Righteous Anger, and my upcoming 3-month container called The Rooted Woman, where we will dive deep into remembering our innate wisdom while exploring the following topics: women's anatomy like you've never heard before, somatics, homeopathy, traditional Chinese medicine, frequency, and so much more. Until next time, I pray that you are deeply nourished on your journey to matriarchy.